Good evening. Welcome to ShareEnjoyment.com. We begin by thanking our host and our founder of this wonderful experience of ShareEnjoyment.com, and that is the one and only Jake Weinman. Jake, thank you very much for all that you do and all of the hard effort and toil that you put into making this a reality. We want to thank our assistant, technical assistant, the screen for a spectacular service, making sure everything is just right. Without Mitch, this wouldn't be possible. We want to thank our sponsor. Every share is dedicated to this share with Zechut Ulu'ilu Nishmas Manish Yitzchok Ben Aryeh. Likewise, we want to wish a refuah shleima to Devora Bas Malka Bracha and Tinoikes Bas Devora. And we thank everyone for their generosity, their kindness, and helping share enjoyment continue to enable us to learn Torah every night of the week. A special shout out to all the Choshev Rabbanim who participate and make this possible. This week, we come to a new parasha, Parashas Behaloscha. The beginning of the parasha is about the Neiros of the Menorah. When you kindle the lamps, simply means, according to Rashi, that all the menorahs shall be tilted just slightly where they all point to the center branch. This is how they shall be lit. And some go on and tell us that I ask in Aaron, Elmul Pnei HaMenorah. And then the pasuk tells us about the details of the menorah, zemas hamenorah, miksha zahav, ad recha, ad pircha, miksha, it's one solid piece of gold, kamarasha hera Hashem esmosha kinosa es hamenorah, the menorah was fashioned exactly the way Hashem presented it to Moshe. Now she tells us Moshe had a difficult time, and Hashem said to put the gold into the fire, and miraculously the menorah emerged. It's interesting that we once again mention the menorah in this parasha. The menorah, we've already come across a few times, and we don't in this parasha review the other kelim, the other services of the Mishkan, but we dwell upon what the menorah looks like, and exactly how it should be lit. It is a little bit, there is a question to ask. Why again? Why again do we review all of the details? Okay, there are many answers. Rashi right away tells us that Aaron wanted to participate in the Chanukah HaMizbeach HaMishkan. Rashi ties it back to last week's parasha. Really, we could ask, it should have been part of last week's parasha. Okay, there are many different ideas that we can go through the Mepharshim. I would like tonight to present to you a homiletic approach to look at the menorah. Not just a very short idea, but in doing so, I think it would be to our advantage to review something very interesting about the menorah. Everyone listening certainly has seen at some point in time a picture, an image, an illustration, a drawing of the menorah with Mizmor Samach Zayin, the words of the Mizmor written within the branches of the menorah. What am I referring to? In Tehillim, in Sefer Tehillim, Mizmor Samach Zayin, Psalm number 67, there is a short mizmar that begins Lanatseach b'neginois mizmar shir Elokim yichonenu yivarcheinu yoyer panav itanu sela. And then there are a few more psukim. It's a relatively speaking a very short mizmar. In many, many shuls, maybe the women don't get a chance always to see this, but in many, many shuls where the Shliach Tzibur davens from, the Omud, what's called the Omud, is the Bima, where we read the Sefer Torah from, And then there is what is called the Amud, where the Shliach Tzibur stands when he davens. It's very common to have in front of him an illustration, the image of the menorah with the mizmar that we have just pointed out, number 67, written inside the seven branches and along the base. There's a whole configuration of how exactly it's done. Certainly, it'll be very easy to do a search to see what this looks like. In shul, many shuls have it by the amud. Some sidurim have it in the back of the siddur. It used to be much more common by, I would assume, by sfardim and certain groups of the Jewish people. It wasn't very, very common by Ashkenazim, both by Hasidim and by the Litvish world, but today it's become very, very common by everyone in many shuls to see this. What exactly is this? What is this all about? A menorah with psukim written along the seven branches, and specifically the seven psukim of this Mizmor Samach Zayin. There are seven main psukim. There's an introductory pasuk, and then there are seven psukim. And each pasuk is written within one of the branches. What is this all about? So there's quite a lot written about this. A lot of it comes from the Rokeach, but there are many, many other sources. Quite a lot of information is available. And what it comes down to is, this is what it's called the Morgain David. Now, obviously, there's another very popular Morgain David, the Star of David, the Star of David, which has six points, which is very, very popular. And that Tzura of the Morgain David, which Achenu B'nai Yisrael in the Holocaust were forced to wear, the yellow star. The yellow star was the Morgain David. This symbol has been around in our history for approximately 1,000 years, even longer. It was first used as grave markers to distinguish between a Jewish grave and a non-Jewish grave. That's how it was used. And there are different indications that it was used earlier. Some are of the understanding that it comes to us from a sefer called Ruzil HaMalach, the Morgain David. Today it's on the flag of the State of Israel, Eretz Yisrael. On the flag is proudly displayed the Morgain David. This is a holy, holy symbol. This is rooted in Kabbalah, rooted in our blood, going back from time immemorial. There was no debate, there's no discussion as to the sacredness of what we call the Morgain David. But it's also very interesting that there is another Morgain David that is cited by a vast collection of commentators, and that is the Menorah. And the legend is that when David HaMelech went to war, etched into his shield was the image of the Menorah of the Beis HaMikdash with the psukim of this particular mizmar written or forming the seven branches of the Menorah. And this is also called the Morgain of David, or the Morgain of the Menorah, a shield. On David's weapon, on his shield, his Morgain, this is what was traditionally written, etched, embossed to identify David in his battles, fighting a Melchemes Hashem, fighting with the power of Hashem to succeed and sanctify this world through holiness, Dusha V'Tahara. And I'll give you some examples of how this is even used. One beautiful thing I came across, and that is saw this in a sefer called Eitzer Peloif by Harav Zicherman. He cites all the sources there, and he cites a fascinating commentary that explains the reason why the Chanukah miracle culminated in the miracle of the menorah, the oil lasting for 8 days, is because the primary or the major significant element of the Chanukah story is battle. The Maccabees, Yehuda HaMaccabee and his brothers, they fought battles. People gave up their lives. There was war. And when they went to war, they went to war with shields, no different than David. They followed, they were following in the ways, the Chashmonim or Kohanim, but they were following in the ways of Yehuda, of Shevet Yehuda. And when they went to war, they went with shields, and on their shields was etched the menorah with the psukim of Mizmar, Samach, Zion. And thus, as they won the battles, and they defeated the Syrian Greeks, and took back possession of the Beis HaMikdash, it was only natural that their success, their Shevach V'Hoidota Hashem, should culminate in the lighting of the menorah of the Beis HaMikdash. If their battle was fought with a weapon, with a shield, which a shield can be used both ways, shield, we ordinarily associate a shield as a defensive piece of equipment, but we know that shields are also used offensively. Their battles were fought with shields, shields that brought out the sanctity and the purpose of their mission, which had on it the menorah with the Mizmar Samach Zayin that describes how the Jewish people will prevail and all of the nations of the world will recognize Hashem's greatness. If that's what was on their shield, certainly that should be what should be the culmination of the Chanukah miracle of lighting the menorah. And when there was not enough oil and it miraculously lasted for 8 days, it was the Hashkocha Pratis, the menorah, the Mogen David, the tool, the weapon of the menorah should be in another dimension how we celebrate the miracle of Chanukah. Mizmar, there are 8 psukim. The first pasuk is an introduction, and then there are 7 psukim. It happens to be that there are in the last 7 psukim, which each pasuk corresponds to one of the branches, there are exactly 49 words. That's why we say this mizmar during Sefirat Ha'Omer to correspond to the 49 days. And the menorah, there were different parts. There were 22 gevi'im. The gevi'im they looked like goblets, drinking goblets. And if you look at the picture of the menorah, there were a total of 22. There were 9 flowers. And there were 11 kaftorim. The kaftor, what we call these knobs, apples, round balls, there were 11. And on the very, very top, according to many of the Mefarshim, there were 7 removable neros. Big dilemma, were the neros, the cups where the oil was poured, were they removable, were they totally attached? But let's assume either way, there are 7 neros. When you add up all of the components of the menorah, it equals exactly 49. 11 kaftorim, 7 pirachim, 22 gevi'im, and 7 neros. 49 components of the menorah. And corresponding to those 49 components, there are exactly 49 words in this mizmar. And what about the very first pasuk? The first pasuk, Lamatzech b'neginas mizmor shir, there are four words. That corresponds to the four gold utensils that were used to service the menorah, as what it says in Parshat Teruma, Umalkocheha, Umachtoiseha, Zahav Tahar. Malkocheha were like tongs, tweezers, Umachtoiseha were little shovels, and these two utensils are written in the Torah in the plural form, which gives us a grand total of four, two multiplied by two. So the mizmor, it's an entirety, refers to all the components of the menorah, and the first pasuk corresponds to the malkocheho and the machtoiseho, which were four. There are four words in the very first pasuk which introduce the mizmor, lamatzeach b'neginos mizmor shir. I'm assuming that the word b'neginos, even though the word b'neginos simply means with melody, but there is a phonetic relationship to the word b'neginos and the word mogen. This was the song of David, the battle song of David, which was reflected in the image of the menorah, as you can see in every single shul at the Amud. There's a lot of tradition and history in this very fascinating image of taking this mizmor and fashioning it into the image of a menorah. I'd like to add just an idea. Something interesting is that Chazal tell us that there was one ner in the menorah that lasted 24/7. Although the Kohanim only put into the menorah enough oil for it to last one night, one evening, for 12 hours, miraculously, one ner remained lit 24/7. When they came the following evening to light, it was still lit. And this, Chazal tell us, was a sign, edus, testimony, shehashchina shoyra b'Yisrael. The fact that this ner remained lit, there was a Hanukkah miracle every single day in the Beis HaMikdash. And it was viewed as a divine sign, a divine favor, a revelation that the Hashem's divine presence is resting amongst the Jewish people. Which ner was the ner Ma'aravi? Truthfully, there's a disagreement in the Gemara, but the very popular opinion is it was the second to last ner. This was the Eidos. It's interesting that in this Mizmar, the second to last pasuk says something about Eretz Yisrael. The other psukim, it says Eretz, but it's not Shudosh or Mikra. It's not referring to Eretz Yisrael. But the second to last pasuk of this Mizmar reads, Eretz, the earth, Eretz Yisrael, Nasana Yivula, gives forth its bounty, Yivarchenu Elokim Elokeinu. May Hashem Elokim, who is Elokeinu, may He bless us. It's a very interesting pasuk. There are many things that have to be understood about this pasuk, especially this idea of Elokim Elokeinu. How often do you have in Tanakh putting together Hashem's name in that form, Elokim? Hashem, who is Elokim, who is Elokeinu. We usually have Hashem, Yudke Vavke, Hashem Elokeinu. Here we have something very unusual, Elokim Elokeinu. May He bless us. That seems to connote a deserved blessing, but the beginning of the pasuk says something that it doesn't say anywhere else in this Mizmar. Eretz Nosna Yivula, may Hashem bring about that the earth, Eretz Yisrael, it should bring forth enormous blessing. When we combine this pasuk is the pasuk of the second to last ner. And it's common knowledge that The Eidos that Hashem rests people upon, the Jewish people, is seen in Eretz Yisrael. The land over the long years of Golus has changed hands many times, but no one was ever successful in cultivating the land, developing the land, bringing forth the Yeruah, the bounty of the land, except for Hashem's chosen nation. When the Goyim took away our land, when we were in exile, the land was barren. The Crusaders came, they tried, this one came, that one came. You go through the whole long history, 1,954 years of history. No one was able to accomplish anything in Eretz Yisrael. But when Klal Yisrael returns, look what's happening today. Eretz Nosna Yerula. Is this not the greatest Eidos Shehashchina Shoyder Yisrael? This Mizmar, every part of this Mizmar, when you delve into the depth of the Mizmar, is a revelation. Another element of the power of this Mizmar and how it relates to the Menorah. And I think it's important to express is that in the Jewish people, when we struggle to survive in Golus against our enemies, and we fight wars, whether we fight the wars physically, with battle, as tradition, Klal Yisrael, he fought the Eretz Yisrael, whether we fight in the political arena, or whether we fight by learning Torah, whether we fight by davening, there is one thing that we always have to remember, that our weapon is the menorah. And the menorah represents the Torah Shebaal Peh. And every element of our battle to take possession and to exploit the sanctity of the land by fighting what is ours, it has to be with the Mogein of the menorah, with what it represents, the purity, the Zemasa HaMenorah. The menorah has to be pure, tohar. Now going back to our original question, why does this parsha begin with the menorah? So I'd like to suggest something very simple. In the middle of this parsha, we come to the ultimate battle. Vayehi bin soy ha'aroin vayoyme Moshe kumo Hashem v'yafutzu ezach v'yanusu mifanecha miponecha. War. When the Jewish people begin to move after we've built the Mishkan, it's now, this parsha is after the Mishkan has been built with the Kabbalah Torah. Unfortunately, there was the Chedor Egel, and then there was Teshuvah. And then Hashem says, okay, build the Mishkan. We built the Mishkan. And now is when the journey really begins. And this journey is a very dangerous journey. You come across in the Midbar enemies. Everything in this parasha, if we look carefully, is a build-up to the journey. We learn about the Levim. The Levim have to be brought into the service. They have to shave their heads. They have to be waved by Moshe. We have their ages. Because it was the Levim who carried the Mishkan. And then, after we finish studying about the Mishkan, we have Korban Pesach, and we have Pesach Sheni, which indeed needs to be discussed. I don't have a clarity at this moment as to why. And that leads up to the journey. And then, perhaps there is a connection, because one of the reasons is a Derech L'Chayk, a person who was not able to bring the Korban Pesach because he was at a distance. And here we, at this point, are at a distance from Eretz Yisrael. There is a slight connection. And then we learn about the Shofaris, how the Simonim, when we have to travel, when we have to shelter in place. And then we begin the journey. All the Degolim, they get into position. And we'll begin to travel. And as we travel, Vayihi ben Tzoyharon, Vayom Moshe, Kumo Hashem, rise up, Vyafutsu Oyevecha, Vyanusu Misanecha Miponecha, and may your enemies be dispersed. May they flee. War. There is danger. There is war. There are enemies who want to attack us. The beginning of this process is to bear arms. The parasha begins with the menorah. The menorah is the mogen. It is the shield, the mogen of David, the mogen of the menorah, lamnatzeach b'neginos mizmar leDavid. It is the weapon of choice, the weapon that captures the sanctity of the Torah, the values of the Torah, the mission of the Jewish people, the purity of the Jewish people. In the beginning of the parasha, we are handed out weapons. The ultimate weapon, the weapon of the Holy Torah. And then we go to recruit the Levim, who are going to be the ones who are going to physically transport. And then we learn about a concept of what it means to be distant from our destination, the Pesach Sheni. And then we learn about the Degolim, everyone is to take the formation. And we learn about the trumpets of the different signals when we move and when we shelter in place. The Amud Ha'anon, Amud Ho'esh. And then the battle begins. But Soif Maisa B'machshava Techila, we start out with the weapon of the menorah. Lamatzeach B'neginois Mizmar L'David. Farshim tell us also that this menorah has a lot to do with the Kohanim. There's a fascinating Malbim here in this Mizmar that takes note that it says in the Mizmar, Yo'er Hashem, may Hashem light up. One of the words that is also found in the Birchas Kohanim. And the Malbim explains that what does it mean, Yo'er Hashem? We say this in the Birchas Kohanim. What bracha are the Kohanim giving the Jewish people? And what he basically says is, the times people come to the Kohen with a dilemma. What should I do? Should I enter into this parnasa, that parnasa? A question with shidduchim, and health issue. People would come to the Kohanim with dilemmas, questions. And the difficult question would go to the Kohen Gadol, and the Kohen Gadol would say, let's ask the Urim the Tumim. And you would ask a question. And if you would merit the letters of the Urim, the Tumim would light up and the Kohen would decipher the message and provide you with Hashem's answer to your question. The Malbim says, the Kohanim are blessing the Jewish people, that when they ask a question, Yo'er Hashem Panav, the letters should light up. Because if Hashem is not pleased with the behavior of a person, then the letters of the Urim V'Tumim do not light up, and the person walks away without a solution, an answer, an approach to deal with a difficult situation. But if Hashem loves the person, the letters light up, and Hashem tells him through the Kohen, through his interpretation, exactly what to do. There is no greater dilemma of what to do than being in war. In war, every other minute is a question. Should we fight this battle? Should we stand down? Should we retreat? These questions are questions of life and death. And with the Kohanim, with the warriors, they are escorted by the Kohen Mashuach Milchama, who wears the Urim V'Tumim. And every other moment, there can be a life and death question. And this Mizma, the Menorah, who provides illumination, if we recite Yo'er Hashem Panav, when you have these difficult questions in battle, in war. What do you do? These are the most haunting questions when one is in battle, how to deal with the situation. And for that, we need the Urim V'Tumim. And we need the bracha that the Urim V'Tumim should respond. Hashem should have them illuminate so that we know what to do. I want to thank you all for listening, for coming, for the shiur. I wish everyone a wonderful week, a week of protection. There's no greater blessing than to have a shield, protection. Baruch atah Hashem, Mogen Avraham. Say in the Haftarah, Baruch atah Hashem, Mogen David. It's a very satisfying feeling when you know you're being protected. And certainly HaKadosh Baruch Hu protects us all. And may that protection stay with us our entire lives. And we should only go to places of joy, simcha, and blessing. Thank you for coming. Thank you for listening. Have a wonderful week. Good night.